Yannick is an alum of this place and clearly has his roots in conducting opera and conducting choirs. How much easier is it to communicate with a fellow conductor who speaks the language, so to speak?
You know, I spend a lot of my time trying to guess at what conductors may or may not want. And working with Yannick is the most natural thing that I've ever done because there is such a similarity in how we approach things. And so it's very liberating because I can really follow my instincts. And even though he may sometimes have different ideas, I always understand, you know, where he's going. So it's liberating, very freeing for me.
And is it in the language or is it just the knowledge that he's not strictly just a symphonic conductor?
Yeah, it's in the knowledge of knowing the vocabulary to ask the singers of what to do. You know, many conductors may have a clear musical idea, but sometimes, you know, it's like talking with an oboist, just knowing exactly how to talk to a double reed player. Well, he really understands how to talk to a singer.
And when he gets the choir from you, clearly it's out of your hands at that point. A lot of choral conductors that I've spoken to said they don't like how their singers sound after they've been handled by somebody else. Does that either happen that Yannick changes things that you've done, or that when you get them back, they're not in the condition you gave them?
Well, I think usually with Yannick, it's always, I feel like he takes what I do and makes it better. You know, he really has, a magical gift for doing that. But, you know, certainly I do work with a lot of different conductors. And, I feel like if I've done my preparation right, that, you know, that will shine through in what they're doing. But sometimes working with other conductors, it's always a give and take. And as long as the conductor is willing to give and take, you know, they want something specific and not sure exactly how to ask for it. And I can just look at the choir and say, try this. And the conductor will go, oh, yes, that's what I want. You know, that we do have that sometimes. I don't have to do that as much with Yannick because of his, you know, understanding of how a choir works.
The piece we're going to hear today is the German Requiem. Can you give us a little bit of historical context, the origins of it, the genesis of it, what we know about its early performances?
Has a fantastic genesis in the fact that it began as just a portion of Ein Deutsches Requiem was being written. But probably the most important thing about it is Ein Deutsches Requiem.
Rather than Latin.
Right, it's in the vernacular. So Brahms coming to this piece, trying to write it truly for someone to understand that was actually going through the grief process and trying to help them to look and see beyond the pain of just the death that's going on.
And writing it for himself as well, lest we forget, for the death of his mother.
Yes. I think you'll find over and over people talk about the depth that happens in this piece. Part of it is the way it is written, the deep tonal quality of which it comes from. But also there is a connection with the text that's deeply moving to someone, you know, whether they are understanding German or not.
What are we listening for here? Give us an overview of how the piece progresses.
The piece begins with this heartbeat, as if the life is still going on that happens deeply in the orchestra. And I think what you're listening for in the piece is Brahms continuing to ask you to give. You'll hear the whole piece. You'll hear these very, very long lines. It's an incredibly difficult piece for the choir because Brahms keeps asking for more and more. He never really lets you go. And even when we get to the seventh movement and we get, you know, everyone is exhausted and Brahms continues to ask you to crescendo, to keep giving more, to keep on going, to keep on going. So I think as people listen to the piece, I think the sense of inevitability to it, the sense of hope and longing for something better is a key element for someone to listen for when they're listening to the entire piece.
Was he a good writer for the human voice? Did he know its possibilities and its limitations? You talk about him there pushing the choir all the way. Too much sometimes?
No, I don't think so, but it certainly is at the very limit of the piece. You know, a conductor has to be very, very careful with tempi in the entire piece, because if it's too slow, that sense of hope doesn't come out and the voices die. And if it's too fast, we kind of lose that ethereal quality. So there's got to be a happy balance that comes with the piece. And that was one of the things in this performance that I was particularly pleased with, was how the pace of it went, which allowed the singers to do that. Brahms knew what he was doing. He wrote for singers all the time. He had his own choir, and he's constantly pushing the limits of tessitura and range, but always writing the voice parts in a way that really helps respond to the text.
And it succeeds based on the arc of the narrative that it leaves us with hope. What's the nature of the success of this? Why has this been so successful and so consistently performed?
I think because there's a sense, when the piece is done right, there's a sense of healing or of being better or being at peace throughout the piece, but also at the end of the piece. And to me, that's the true test of whether it's a great performance or not.